Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm your host, Julian Klimochko. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Kesslering. And today we welcome special guest, Ben Volko, founder and CEO of Autonomo, the provider of a platform and marketplace for vehicle data that's positioned at the epicenter of the data revolution in the automotive and mobility space. Autonomo recently announced a going public transaction through SPAC Software Acquisition 2 in a $1.1 billion deal. On today's podcast, Ben discusses his journey to founding Autonomo, building a startup in Israel, the future in automotive data, key insights into Autonomo's business combination with SPAC Software Acquisition 2, how Autonomo differentiates itself from the competition, and more. So with no further ado, here's our podcast with Ben Volko, founder and CEO of Autonomo. Welcome, Ben, to the Absolute Return Podcast. Really excited to have you on the show today. Definitely crazy times, I'm sure, in your life with the recently announced going public transaction via SPAC Software Acquisition 2. We're interested in getting into that today, hearing some of the background behind that process. But before we get into that, can you give our listeners some background information on your career trajectory and how you ended up founding and leading Autonomo?
Definitely. So hi, Julian, and thanks for inviting me. So very exciting times on our side, a lot of plans, a lot of excitement, a lot of good things happening. I'm what is called a serial entrepreneur. I've been doing it for the last 20 years, starting companies and growing them from a seed idea, from presentation towards business and taking them forward. And I've been doing it in the communications, in the data, and in the enterprise segments most of my career. And the story behind Autonomo is really an interesting one. One of my previous companies, a company called Trafix, was acquired by F5 Networks. And I remember that we had a request from at F5 from one of the German car manufacturers to come and talk to them about their data plans. And you know what? Nobody wanted to go and talk to them. It was 2015. And you know, they told me, well, German car manufacturer, maybe they called the wrong number. And I found myself, flying to Germany and having a discussion with them. And it was a fascinating discussion. It was a discussion about the future of the auto industry, about security and data and cloud and communication and services around the vehicle. And I came out of it and said, look, that's exactly what I've been doing for the last, the time was 15 years, in other markets, really taking data and opening up to build value. And I felt that I can take my expertise from other markets and support and do something very, very interesting also in the automotive industry. So that's the story behind why I jumped to the water. And of course, the first idea and concepts around Autonomo. Of course, it's tuned and shifted a bit right and left. But the North Star is not very different than the North Star we had in 2015 when we started.
Interesting. And you mentioned this notion of being a serial entrepreneur and being located in Israel. So, like, I assume investors, public market investors that would now be interested in the stock. Currently, it is a SPAC, and then it'll convert into trading as Autonomo. These investors were largely be from the US, some from Canada, which is our podcast listenership as well. Can you talk about your experience in building Autonomo and your earlier entrepreneurial successes from Israel?
Definitely. So really, Israel is a very small country. I think 8 million people overall. And for us, we understand from day one that the market is not in Israel. The market is outside of Israel. In our case, it's global market. We do business in Detroit, but also in Stuttgart, in Wolfsburg, in Seoul, and in Tokyo, wherever the automotive hubs are. So from day one, you build a business facing out. I think there's something very interesting, and it's a place for a longer discussion around Israeli culture and startups and entrepreneurship. We saw many, many interesting companies coming to Nasdaq from Israel. It's Wix and Fiverr and SolarEdge and JFrog. And, you know, we can talk about Checkpoint. That are very, very interesting companies. And I think part of it is the culture in Israel. You are really, it's very different than what you find in Europe. We are from very young age, we get the liberty to take risks and to jump to the water and to try. And if you failed, it's not good, but not bad. You tried. Trying and doing, going to the journey is something you get a lot of support for. Of course, everybody wants that the journey will end nicely, but starting the journey, embarking on the journey, is something you get a lot of respect for. And I think that's why we see so much innovation, so much startups, and recently so many listings from companies in Israel. And I think there are great companies here, and we'll see more. But for us, really going back to the business, like everything in life, everything is has pros and cons. And really some of the challenges for us is that, you know, foreign language, far from the market, different time zones. But also it keeps you very focused when you know where is the market, where you know where you're aiming. And maybe I should add that we have a very good technical talent here in Israel. Part of it is good universities. Part of it is the army that really, a lot of people in very young age get a lot of responsibility and doing amazing things. So I think it's a very, very interesting environment. I think that in VC investments, we are third or fourth in the world after California, New York, and London. So very, very exciting place for innovation and technology.
And we are certainly seeing a large number of new companies, specifically tech startups, coming out of Israel and listing in the U.S. exchanges, which is super exciting to see. And it's cool to see Autonomo to be pursuing that path as well. So let's get into the underlying business model that you guys are running at the company, specifically involving automotive data. And the way you framed it was really just, you know, the future of the auto industry is the data and all the services you can provide from that data. Can you describe the company's business model for investors and, you know, how you plan on getting clients, generating revenue and growth in the future?
Definitely. So Autonomo is really a data platform for the automotive industry. Cars are getting connected. They come out of the dealership with a modem and SIM, just like a phone. And more than 90% of the cars that were sold in 2020 in North America and Europe, well connected. And the numbers are growing all the time. And in the not far future, it will be 100% of new cars. And all those connected cars are really moving sensors on wheels. They got hundreds of sensors that are all the time collecting information. And this information, using the modem in the car and the 5G or 4G network, is sending a lot of data to the database of the car manufacturers, the Fords, the GMs, the Nissans of the world. What we do at Autonomo, we enable those car manufacturers, we call them OEMs, to utilize and monetize this data. We are connecting from our platform to the car manufacturer database. We take the data that is already sitting there, and we provide it to an ecosystem of services that want this data. Smart cities and insurance services and financial services and retails and parts providers and transportation agencies. And there are thousands of use cases and dozens of industries that want this data. And our business model is very simple and very similar to other marketplaces. It could be Amazon and Fiverr or Airbnb. We work on revenue share with OEMs. So we connect to the database, we take the data, we supply to the third parties interested in this data, and we have some revenue share with the OEM. We have additional revenue source, which is SaaS models that we license on top of the platform. Many of the OEMs we engage with are missing a few technical parts to enable the business. They might be missing the technology to anonymize the data to meet regulation. They might be missing the technology part to meet GDPR or CCPA. They might be missing the ability to take the data and purify it So we provide it on top. We license it to them. So those are the two revenue sources for us. One is revenue share, the marketplace, and the other is licensing SaaS models to the OEMs. If you know this industry a bit, the automotive industry, you know that it's very long times to get agreements with the car manufacturers. And one of the I think, achievements of Autonomo and the things that make us quite unique is that we have today 16 agreements with car manufacturers. And some of the names I can mention, Mitsubishi and Peugeot and BMW and Daimler and Fiat Chrysler and many, many others. They all trust us with maybe something that is one of their most strategic assets, the data. So those 16 agreements and about 40 million cars that are connected to our platform, we have access to, really put us in a very, very unique position. I think today we are already the biggest center for automotive data in the world. And this data, there's a lot of interest, and it's really enabling so many new use cases and business models. So this is about us. We opened a shop in early 2020 for business. And we had, you know, we are a marketplace. And until we had enough data, we couldn't really open the shop. And the moment we had enough data, we opened it last year. And, you know, the requests, the demands, the interest, it's amazing to see. And we start to see the famous wheelspin effect. The more data we have, the more customers we have, the OEMs want to give us more data. So it's great to see each side of the marketplace feeding the other. Very exciting times, a lot of growth. It's the future looks bright.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest-growing alternative investment solution providers, with a suite of institutional-caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund, symbol ARB on the TSX, is the world's first SPAC-focused ETF with a diversified portfolio of SPAC and merger arbitrage opportunities in an easy-to-use, low-cost ETF. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund ETF trades under the symbol ARB on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, the most interesting part of a two-sided marketplace is those network effects, right? And so moving a little bit to the capital markets side, where you're certainly doing some innovation on that side as well, choosing to go public through a SPAC, as you recently announced the initial business combination with Software Acquisition 2. And so we're always curious, as we do follow the SPAC market very closely, and we're always very curious about how these deals come about. So can you provide a little bit of background on how this transaction came about?
Definitely. I think that in September, about 5 months ago, things were looking good and we were considering a funding round, and we actually had a few offers from investors to invest in the company. And then we started getting some pings regarding from banks regarding specs. And the general story was that when the banks came, they said, look, we see so much activity around autonomous cars, all the leader companies, for example. And we see so much activity around electrifications, all the EV companies, the rivals of the world. But there's another very important pillar which is part of the future of automotive, which is data services and connectivity. And New Autonomo seems to be one of the main pillars there. We think it could be very relevant, interesting for SPAC and going public. We weren't sure. Again, like everything, it has pros, it has cons. We evaluated it. We talked to a number of banks. We talked to a number of specs. And we decided that it's the right thing for us, that there are a lot of very good things that this process is bringing us. I can tell you that, was it like 3 weeks after announcing the merger, the feedbacks from the market are very, very positive. Our OEM partners, our service providers ecosystem, they're all very, very happy about this. It means that Autonomo will stay around. We won't be closing down like a startup or being acquired tomorrow. It gives us the ability to push forward on the business, give us the cash injection to run faster with the roadmap. So a lot of excitement internally and also externally from our ecosystem around this move.
And so when you mentioned that you were looking at different alternatives, was one of those alternatives that you, I guess, spoke about with advisors and internally, did you look at, say, a traditional IPO or a direct listing? Did you look at those aspects as well?
So we had a discussion about it. And the feeling that it was that we are less suited to this process today. Yes, we can say, okay, that's where we're aiming and get there in 2-3 years. But we thought that it means raising money now from investors, getting dilution, moving slower than we wanted, and then doing the IPO. And we thought that the SPAC is a very interesting opportunity where we are being evaluated not just on where we are now, but where we'll be in 2, 3, and 4 years. And it's very typical to the automotive industry because it's so slow moving. From getting the traction, from getting the contracts to actual revenues, it can take 2 to 3 years. It's an industry for brave people. And we feel that with SPACs, there's understanding for our unique, I would call it business, and we felt it's the right thing for us. It enables us to move fast. We don't need to raise money and another part-time raise money, and then we do it all at once. We can move faster. You know, part of our business, and I'm sure you know it like me, with marketplaces, there's a big advantage for the first mover. Usually there's one guy that takes the 80% and all the rest are left with the 20. This is why we have one Airbnb and one Fiverr and one Amazon. And we feel that Autonomo is in a very, very good position to be this guy that takes the 80% of the market. And going in this route enabled us really to move faster, to get the right funding, to get the right exposure, and even the right inside operational processes to support the growth and where we're aiming. And I can tell you that, as I said, you know, things are looking good and we are aiming to really to be the guy that takes 80% of this market.
We're always interested in hearing some of the background and what goes into putting these deals together. And so from your perspective in this SPAC process, were you talking to multiple potential SPACs to combine with and go public that way? Was it, you know, you just talked with a handful, or were your advisors introducing you to multiple different potential partners? And how did you select which one you're going to utilize in this going public transaction?
It's a very good question. I think that SPAC combination is a bit like a Catholic wedding. You got one shot. So you want to meet as many ladies as possible and make sure you have some discussion with them before you get met. And that's what we've done here. We've been introduced to a number of SPACs, and we talked to them, and you know, we saw from the beginning some weren't relevant, some thought we are not relevant, some were great, some were focused on other industries. There's so many SPACs out there. I think for us, what made us choose, and I think it's mutual choosing, we chose them and they chose us, a software acquisition was a number of things. One criteria is the amount of funding. We are a software company. We feel that we don't need a SPAC that has $500 million. We don't need those amounts of. We are not building cars or readers, just software. So the costs are slightly lower. We feel that the team at Software Acquisition is a very strong team coming with strong and very successful background in the TMT industry. We feel that those are people that come from similar industries. They understand data, they understand enterprise. They are not from the cannabis industry or the healthcare, which are great industries, but less relevant for us. In the end, you want someone that understands your business better than you, if possible, and can support you and give you advice in the board. And I think the human part of it. It's someone that will sit on your board. As I said, it's almost like a Catholic wedding. You want someone you can work with, you can talk to, you can consult with, you can learn from. And I think that Soto Acquisition ticked all those boxes very nicely. So we had a number of options, but we thought that that's the right one for us. And I can tell you that after, I think, 4 months of discussions, engagements, merging together, etc., I believe that we've chosen wisely and right.
That's great to hear. And another key aspect of this transaction is the PIPE financing, of course. And you guys raised $172.5 million from investors, including Fidelity, SunVest, Dell. We're interested in, you know, how did that come about? And were you involved in those discussions? Or is it something the investment banking advisors do? Or is it, you know, is it the SPAC team doing? How does that, how did the PIPE financing, how did that come together?
So we are very, very proud of the list of investors that joined the PIPE. Some of them, like Dell and Hearst, which is another one in the PIPE, were existing investors that really believed in what we do. They saw the progress, and part of it to show that they believe in the company and happy about the progress also took part in the PIPE. The others are really new investors like Fidelity, like BNP Paribas, and other very, very respectable names. As a CEO of the company, you are really the center of the PIPE discussions. Of course, you bring your CFO. Of course, the SPAC is presenting also why they've chosen you. But in the end, the investment is going into Otonomo and what we deliver today and what we intend to deliver in the end. And as a CEO, you need to be there, present, explain, protect, answer. And make sure that Fidelity feels that this is the right thing for them, especially today where there are so many opportunities and companies knocking on the door to shine out and get the trust is maybe more challenging than in quiet times. And I can tell you that for us, I talked to some companies, they met 60, 70, 80 different investors in the process. For us, it was much more relaxed. I think we met about 30 different investors. We were lucky to be number of X's oversubscribed, so we could really pick and choose the right investors. You look for people that understand your business. You look for people that are looking for long-term investment. You look for people that can maybe assist you down the road. So we were lucky enough to be able to choose and to influence the allocation of each one of those. So many people I hear when I talk to other CEOs that went through the process, they talk about the PIPE as something very traumatic. Plus, I actually don't tell anyone enjoyed it a bit. It was good discussions with very smart people.
That's great. And it seems like everything with respect to your going public transaction via SPAC is going pretty wonderfully thus far, PIPE. Massively oversubscribed. The market likes the deal thus far, judging by the trading of software acquisition too. So at this point, given what you've learned through the SPAC process, would you recommend this route of going public to other private companies? And if so, why? Like, what are some of the benefits that you believe that you know, the SPAC can bring to a private company?
So you're asking a good question. I think that it depends on the company, on the market, on the stage. Definitely, SPACs is a great way to get public and to benefit from all the good things that are associated with this. Having said that, you need to be in, for many companies, SPAC is like taking a kid out of elementary school, telling him you're a good student, here's the university, see you in 3 months. It's not an easy move, and not all the companies can do it. You need to get to a certain maturity. You need to have certain internal processes. You need to have the business in a certain place where you can see where it's going and where what is coming. So I don't think it's right for all companies. Definitely, it's right for many, many companies in similar position to Otonomo. I'm also not sure it's right for all the industries. Some industries have unique characteristics that maybe are better suited for a SPAC. For us, it gave the right cash injection. It gave us the right credibility in the market. Our ecosystem is very happy. It gave us the ability to move faster and more aggressively on the way to fulfill our vision. Again, it's not perfect. You know, there's a lot of cost. There's a lot of internal processes that need to come. Some of them are good. Some are not good. It's created a lot of transparency. Not always you want all this transparency, especially when things are not going well. But in the end, there's much more good than bad in this process. So for us, it was very right. And I think that each company is a different story, but I'm sure there are other companies which could be a great fit for Spark.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers. With a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance, the Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF, symbol 1C, ONEC on the TSX, is Canada's first alternatives portfolio solution, providing exposure to 6 alternative asset classes, 10 alternative strategies, in one easy-to-use, one-choice ETF that charges a management fee of just 0.2%. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF trades under the symbol 1C, ONEC on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So when this SPAC merger does close, you will have the PIPE financing as well as ideally a large amount of the SPAC cash in trust will remain with you. And so if that all goes according to plan, should have over $300 million of cash on the balance sheet. What could you describe a little bit more into how you're going to use that cash to achieve some of the vision that you've described today?
Definitely. So I think we're going to use the cash in a couple of ways. And we're looking to accelerating the roadmap. We have a lot of requests from either the OEMs or the ecosystem that consumes the data for additional technology. So we want to serve them and really give them what they need and want to move faster. We want to grow the sales team. Today, we use a lot of automation and have a very small sales team. Again, we feel that we are in the right place where we see the market. You know, the tide is rising. We are selling on the tide, but we need a slightly bigger boat to stay on top. We are looking to additional geographies also. Today, we operate in North America and Europe mainly. That's most of the 40 million cars are coming from there, most of the business. We see maturity and requests coming from other markets. Many of the car manufacturers are telling us, look, we like you. We work together in North America or Europe. Can we also touch the water together in Japan, Korea, or Brazil, etc.? So we'll be going to additional markets. And then we have a few other plans up the sleeve that we hope to roll out. But as you can see, we have a lot of plans. And luckily, we have really the ability to now to go forward and fulfill them.
Right. And once this transaction closes, obviously you're up and trading, you guys are cashed up, pursuing an aggressive growth plan. I was wondering about the competitive dynamics in the market. You do have a slide in the investor presentation, the competitive assessment. You compare yourselves against 2 European competitors and some technology vendors. I was wondering if you could describe to investors how Autonomo plans on differentiating itself from its competitors within, a highly competitive marketplace.
It's a good question. So let's touch for a second. I think from day one, we've done 2 things differently. One, we invested a lot in technology. I think we have 26 patents and patent pending. I think that the British company mentioned in the spec has 2 patents that they got for a small acquisition, which are not really relevant. We talked about the SaaS models. We are much more than a marketplace. We really see the need for technology also. And this approach has served us well. So I think one thing that is slightly different, we are not trying to be data pushers. We are really trying to be a partner that supplies the one-stop shop, the full technology needed to enable it, either to the providers of the data or consumers. The second is neutrality. One of our competitors, for example, took about $100 million from GM. And the moment they done this and they put 2 GM guys in the board, they were called GM, everything except a sign on the building. Many OEMs told them, guys, you know, data is so sensitive, so strategic. We have a challenge here. We were very careful all along the journey not to call the company. We believe that if you are a marketplace that deal with data, you need to be neutral. You cannot take sides. So we have competition, good companies, and we mentioned really also the big guys, the Silicon Valley heavyweights. A lot of them are partners. Microsoft is a good partner. AWS is a good partner. There are a few others, and we will see some hopefully announcements coming in the next few weeks and months. But if the market is as big as McKinsey believe, the $7 billion market for marketplaces and technology here, I'm sure that this is an ocean interesting enough also for those guys and strategic enough. And I believe that we will see some of those heavyweights coming in and competing with Otonomo. It's good, it's bad, it has pros, it has cons. But definitely, I think it's another indication of the size of the market, about the fact that it's eating up and how strategic it is. And I hope that really while the good early work that we've done in the partnerships and building the technology and the IP, we can maintain that partnership also with those Silicon Valley heavyweights and be their partner also when the market heats up and grows. And to summarize, I think we are well positioned. We have competition, good companies. We have more competition as the market grows. But I think with technology, with neutrality, with the right funding, with early mover advantage, with the agreements we have, to get an OEM agreement, it takes 3 years. We have 16 signed agreements. I think we have some good barriers to make sure that we will be the leader, not now when the market is so small, but in 4 or 5 years ago when the market is hundreds of millions of dollars.
And as a company that's basically brand new to the public markets, it's really important in getting out there, telling your story, and you had a lot of interesting data points in the investor presentation, whether it be the forecast revenue growth or the total addressable market. For investors new to the Otonomo story, could you give a quick rundown of the case for investing in the stock?
Definitely. You know, that's what I do for life in the last few months. So, you know, analysts are talking about the future of automotive, and they talk about what they like to call CASE. CASE stands for communication, autonomous, shared, and electrified. And Otonomo really is maybe the market leader under the sea, the communications, the connected. And data is big part of the future of the auto industry. Otonomo has some unique assets and a lot of success with the OEMs. We really became the de facto the standard with 16 OEM agreements. We are growing nicely. We are well positioned to be the market leader in this very large and very strategic market. And more than this, I think that we have a very strong management team, people that have delivered in the past, people that are well suited for the work. I've done it before. I started companies, I built businesses, successful businesses. I delivered on my promises. I executed on plans. So I think we are in a good position. We have the right funding and backing to make it happen. And we are very, very bullish about the next couple of years.
Thank you for that. And prior to letting you go today, where can investors find out more?
So we have on our website, there's a link for investors. But more than this, we have an email, investors@otonomo.io. You are welcome to send an email. We'll add you to the distribution list. If you have questions, we'll try to answer them. So we have a lot of respect to our investors community for their trust.
That's great to hear. That's music to investors' ears, certainly, to have that support and being able to reach out to management and leadership and really get some key insights into the business and the story. And exciting times. We wish you the best of luck in your going public transaction to the SPAC software acquisition too. We'll be cheering from the sidelines as shareholders in the company. We're excited about the story. So wish you all the best. And thank you, Ben, for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks, Michael. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you very much.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.